Thank you, Pastor Zukowski, and thank you, Pastor Bloom, and the leadership here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church for giving me this privilege and this great honor to present the Word of God tonight. If you would just please stand together and take your Bibles, and we'll turn to Proverbs chapter 11. That's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 26. Standing together, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 26. And we'll read that together. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 26. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. One more time. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Let me pray. Father, we come before you now in Jesus' name, and we thank you so much for the corn of your word. We thank you for the food that you feed us with, the King James Bible. We thank you for the church that we have in Scranton, Pennsylvania, Lackawanna County, that's built on the foundation and the rock of Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray that as I preach that you would fill me with the Holy Ghost, that I would step right out of the way, and we would all be found in the way, and that Jesus would show up, we'd be blessed and fed, and that the blessing of you maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Thank you for your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I found this when I went for a walk last night. I found this when I went for a walk last night up at my parents' house in Nicholson. Nicholson, the country, the woods. Does any of the men know? Raise your hand. Any of the men know what this is, Brother Joe? It's a corn. Yes, sir. It's a corn husk. It's a corn husk, and Just to break the ice, I thought that would be a corny way just to, you know, how to start the service. So, that being said, if you take your Bibles and turn to Daniel, take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 4. That's Daniel chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading the text tonight. The text tonight that, to back up for one second, keep your finger in Daniel 4, please. Keep your finger in Daniel 4. Okay, the real opening text for tonight that I want to preach from is Psalm chapter 115, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 115, verses 1 through 3, and it says this: Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake, wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And the text I want to use to bring out the different points of Psalm 115, verses 1 through 3, is in Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, verse 4 says this: I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream, which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed, and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I, Nebuchadnezzar, told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Verse 8, so far up to verse 8, we see how the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was in his house, in his palace, just resting, had a dream, and he was troubled by it. He was disturbed by it. Have you ever been troubled? Have you ever been disturbed? Have you ever been vexed? The psalmist said, "Why art thou downcast, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for he is the health of my countenance, in my God." You see, in this case, we have a foreign empire, we have a foreign king, and in this foreign empire, and in this particular foreign king, he was used to being in charge. He was used to not being troubled. Because if he said, I want a steak, he would get a steak. If he said, I want some corn, I'd get some corn. If he said, heads are going to roll, heads were going to roll. Because this was the king of the world at the time. King Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, and he had just sacked the southern kingdom of the divided Israel at the time, the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, which were left in 586 BC. He had just sacked Jerusalem and destroyed it. And he brought Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, otherwise known as Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were their Babylonian names that he renamed them for, into his kingdom. So this man, King Nebuchadnezzar, was trying to assimilate, which simply means to meld into one all the other kingdoms. Bow to me, bow to me. He made a golden statue one chapter before, and he said, everybody bow down. I said, everybody bow down. And there were the three stooges, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, otherwise known as the three heroes, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who said, no way. No way, Jose. So, that it didn't happen. And you know what, Jose? They were saved from the fiery furnace. They were delivered, sir, because they obey God rather than man. But back to the story, right? I'm in my palace, Nebuchadnezzar said. I had a dream. I got disturbed. I brought in all the people of the realm who thought that they knew what they were talking about. The magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, all the bad guys. Yeah, they know what's up. Well, guess what? They didn't. Look at verse 8. This is what Nebuchadnezzar said. At the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen. And remember, he's a king, and he's talking like this because he's troubled. And the interpretation thereof. Thus, Daniel, were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. This is the verse I want you to pay attention to. Nebuchadnezzar is speaking, and he says this. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher. A watcher. Remember that. And an holy one came down from heaven. A watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. You know, in Psalm 115 it says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory." You see, God is good. God is good, my friends. And only God is good, yes, but you know what? God uses men. God uses men. And the psalmist here is crying out to God, saying, "Lord, we're not going to take your glory. Lord, you said in your word that you won't share your glory with anybody. But God, we're on your side. We're on the winning side. Have mercy and we want the truth. We want the truth." Back to Daniel. "I saw in the visions of my head," Nebuchadnezzar said, "upon my bed, and behold, a watcher." You know, I looked up that word Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, that word watcher. The word watcher means someone who diligently exercises oversight and care for people. Someone who diligently exercises oversight and care for people. We'll get back to that. "He cried aloud." This is what the watcher did. The watcher cried aloud in the Holy One and said thus, "Hew down the tree and cut off his branches. Shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him." So here we see in Nebuchadnezzar's troubled, disturbed, disquieted, vexed soul, he saw a watcher, someone who has oversight. He saw a holy one, a saint of God, an angel, a messenger, someone from heaven come down and speak. Remind you of anyone that has done that for 50 years? "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy," not giving us what we do deserve. We deserve hell, my friends. We deserve the lake of fire. We deserve the second death. But God in his mercy commendeth his love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Wherefore should the heathen say," wherefore, verse 2 of Psalm 115, "should the heathen say, where is now their God?" Where is now their God? You see, I looked up the word heathen in Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. And it meant someone who lives out in the sticks, the woods, who isn't familiar with the God of the Jews or the God of Israel. Someone who lives out in the woods, Nicholson maybe, but that's not my dad and mom. Praise God. They're here tonight. I thank God for that as well. But this heathen wasn't a saved heathen. Because the cry of the psalmist in Psalm 115:2 says, "Wherefore should the heathen say, why and for what reason?" Pastor always says, you got to find out what the wherefore is there for. But the heathen, our enemies, the godless, the pagans, are saying, yeah, Scranton Revival Baptist Church, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Florida, United States of America, where is now your God? Where is your God? Well, let's go back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, starting at verse 17. So again, you have Nebuchadnezzar. He's very troubled. He is very troubled, and he's telling Daniel these things. And this watcher says in verse 17, speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, "This matter is by the decree of the watchers." There it is again, the watcher. "And the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living," pay attention to this, "that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men." The basest of men. "This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen." So he's telling Daniel, but he says, "Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men in my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation," this is what he told Daniel, "but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee." Now, I'm not advocating more than one God here, because the spirit of the holy gods was in Daniel. That was King Nebuchadnezzar's understanding at the time. There is one God and one mediator between us and God, and that's the man, Christ Jesus our Lord. He is not only divine, he has a divine nature, yes, but he is deity. He is God, the Son of God, and he loves us. And he gave his life on the cross for us, where he shed his own blood and he was buried, but God raised him from the dead 3 days later. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't know all that. So Daniel, after Daniel heard what King Nebuchadnezzar just told him, he's like, oh my goodness. He didn't even say that. The Bible says in verse 19 of Daniel chapter 4, "Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonied. He was amazed. He was dumbfounded. He couldn't speak. He was startled. He was amazed. What about the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell? Mitch McConnell? I don't know if you've seen in the news, making fun of the 81-year-old who is taking his time to think before he speaks. Don't get me wrong, he might have some health problems, don't we all? But God forbid we take our time to think before we speak. I'm not God, and I don't perfectly know that judgment or not. But I'm telling you, the doctor said he didn't have a stroke. The doctor said that he didn't have any particular health challenge. Like, in the world that we live in, the speed of the world that we live in of judgment is ridiculous. It's instant. There's no mercy. It's judgment without mercy. Like, give the God, like, so it says in verse 19, "Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished." He was amazed for 1 hour. Imagine if one of our senators or one of our congressmen, God forbid, was told something that hit them like a ton of bricks, and they literally stopped and kept their mouth shut in front of the camera for 1 hour.
1 hour.
But this 1 hour is a two-edged sword. Thank God we're in the Church of Philadelphia. Thank God for our pastor who's watching. "And his thoughts troubled him." This is Daniel speaking. He's a man of God. The one who King Nebuchadnezzar said has the spirit of the holy gods in him. 1 hour he was quiet, but then the king spake, King Nebuchadnezzar, and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, may not like God, but he was honoring King Nebuchadnezzar because he was one of his councilmen. He said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. Again, Psalm 2 says, Wherefore should the heathen say, our enemies say, Where is now their God or our God? The tree, Daniel said in Daniel 4:20, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwell, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, Daniel talking to King Nebuchadnezzar, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas, pay attention to this part, and whereas the king saw a what? A watcher. Three times, the king saw, or watcher, is mentioned. Verse 13, verse 17, and verse 23. I'll tell you what, I didn't give you the full definition of what watcher means right at the beginning. It does mean to be diligent, to be observant, to have oversight too. But think about this, my friends. A watcher means to take care of the sick at night. To take care, to shepherd, to pastor, to love, to tend to. When no one else is awake, he's praying, he's watching, he's taking note of, he's typing out Facebook posts, he's calling, he's visiting, he's up. Why? Because God has watchers. God has watchers. In everywhere that man may be, thou God art present there. But don't forget, God uses men. Women and children as well, but God uses men to care for our souls. Thank God we're not in a church where we can say, no man cared for my soul. Psalmist said that we have no excuse. We have a pastor and his wife who have labored and toiled and planted and blessed Scranton, Pennsylvania. I think it's 45 years for senior pastor, and more than that, I think it's about 52 or 53 of service here in Scranton, and married for 50 years. Praise the Lord. So this is what Daniel says. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, I hated to preach this sermon, Brother Joe. It keeps talking about chopping down trees, and you just talked about not chopping down fruit trees, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Hew the tree down and destroy it. Yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass. That's judgment. Iron is strong, and brass is judgment in the Bible. In the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion, speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord, the king. that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee. That's another time it's mentioned, seven times. Seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. The heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. You know, back in 2015, I was going through some tremendous trials in my life. And I was in the hospital, and I was very, very sick. And I had been in and out of Scranton Revival Baptist Church, having met Brother Joe, being the first official person that I met from Scranton Revival Baptist Church, when I was walking through the woods out in Lackawanna State Park for, I believe, a Memorial Day picnic, sir. And I just heard this voice coming through the woods. Repent, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We need to get back to God. We need to turn to God. I'm like, what is that? I'm walking through the woods with my English Standard Version Bible. And, let's just say, I'm like, what is this? I see a man standing with a red shirt and blue jeans and a Bible, a real Bible, mind you, in his hands. And I'm looking at this scene of this group of people. There's food, they're talking, they're sitting, they're listening. It looks like they're having a grand old time. And I'm like, what is this? So I start walking over ever so slowly. And Brother Joe comes over to me. And he goes, hi, how are you? Stuck out his hand. I said, I'm all right. I'm good. I'm in the woods. I'm looking for God. He's like, oh, well, I think you found him. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we're Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And that was, I don't know, 2012, 2013 range. And I had been in and out because back then, I would go to one church in the morning in Southside. Then I go to here for the evening service after I got back from another church off of Green Ridge Street for the middle of the day service. This is when I had energy. Don't mind me. I certainly wasn't God's snail at the time. But bottom line is that I went from place to place, bouncing around, local New Testament church to local New Testament church, trying to find my place in the house of God. And, you know, I tried it all. It was like a buffet for me. And it was good in some parts, but other parts were just nightmares. Nightmares. I was troubled, sir. I was vexed. And I was like, oh, God, help me. And, you know, when I was in the hospital after getting back from Mali, Africa, in 2015, a wonderful and challenging and difficult journey that Brother Harold and I got to go to, when I got back, I lost it. I just lost it, my mind again. I became a Christian in 2008, but I had a lot of struggles because I grew up in a Christian family. My dad and my mom, which are here tonight, thank God, they raised me right. First of all, they raised me a Baptist. I'm still a Baptist, praise God. Number two, they said, train up a child. Well, their motto in their home was, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart thereof. Proverbs 22:6. So I had correction applied to my seat of learning more times than I can count. And you know what? My dad and mom gave me the world. They gave me the world. And, you know, I threw it in their face for 19 years of my life. I disrespected my parents. I disrespected God. I didn't listen. I didn't pay attention in school. Everything was easy for me. It just my brain was like a sponge. You could soak it in, squeeze it, soak it out, and it's gone forever. You know, it was in 7 years into my disturbances, 7 years into my vexation of soul and spirit of mind and body, that Pastor Bloom, Randy Bloom, came to me in a hospital up here at Geisinger Community Medical Center. He said, "Listen, Matthew, this is your last chance." He said, "This is your last chance." And I said, "For what, sir?" And he said, "Listen, if you don't humble yourself, if you don't listen to the doctors and nurses and do what they're telling you, you're not going to make it. You're going to be in here forever. You're going to go to Clark Summit State Hospital." That was my next step. One more time, I would have been forever or a very long time. I wouldn't be here. But what I'm saying here in the text, it says, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel," Daniel was speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, "be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness." You see, I was proud. The first 7 years of I'm still proud at times. I am, but I've repented of that. I've repented of my pride. But for the first 7 years, it was really hard for me because I knew all the Bible. Like, I could tell you every word in the Bible. I can read the English language. Science was no problem to me. You know, E equals MC squared. I could tell you all the laws of physics. I could tell you the constellations. Like, everything. My parents raised me right, I told you. But, at the end of 7 years of my Christian walk, God sent a watcher to me. God sent a man of God to me. God sent a church to me. He said, "Listen, Matthew, you get in, stay in, 3 to thrive, 4 more to win the war. You stick, like that Bible, you stick to that Bible and you stick with this church, you're going to be all right." And you know what? Here I am, by the grace of God. Thanks to God. Thanks to Pastor. Thanks to the men of God in this church. Thanks to their wives, who have to put up with me. Till I get one myself, Lord willing. Help me, Lord. Let me finish a story. All this came upon the King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months... only took him a year. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" But verse 31, "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, 'O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass, delicious, as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee." There's that 7 times again. "Until thou know that," this is the third time it's going to say it. Lots of threes in the Bible. "Thrice I ask God to take away my weakness, my thorn in the flesh. I don't want to do that, God. I don't want to listen to the doctors, Lord. I don't want to." 3 times, God said, "Nope. Nope. Listen, this is what you have to learn, Matthew. The Most High," that's God, "ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Like, why not, right? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Lord of Glory. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's the way home. He's our great shepherd. We have a good under shepherd, but he's the great shepherd of us, the sheep. And God has every right to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, sir, as long as it's pleasing to him. as long as it's pleasing to him. But it says in 33, the same hour was the thing. I told you hours are two-edged swords sometimes. Sometimes it can be a real blessing. You can pray for an hour. You can escape from the world for an hour. You can escape from the devil in the hour, thank God. But other times it's just, oh boy, here we go. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men. Indeed, he did eat grass as oxen. Ugh. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, like Absalom, the rebellious one, David's son, and his nails like Leonard. Like Leonard. Bird's claws. You know, I looked up online just because I wanted to know. I looked up online how long eagle's feathers are. And eagle's feathers, generally speaking, the longer ones are 16 to 22 inches. 16 to 22 inches. Each pinion or each feather, 16? To about 22. Yay. Approximately. That's how long the long ones are. The shorter ones are 10 inches to 14 inches. So, you know, why are you saying this, Matthew? What are you trying to tell us tonight? Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Pleased? Really? Like, okay. So God saved you. He gave you your mind back. He put a blessed pastor and watcher in your life. He lets you attend an amazing church with amazing people, every single one of you. Treasures of God, blessings of God, men of God, women of God, children of God, sons and daughters of the King. Oh, yes. But I think it's more than that. I think it's more than that. You see, we know nothing. You see, we know nothing of judgment. We're saved. Jesus saved us. You know, in Isaiah 53, verse 10, it says this. It says, yet it pleased the Lord, that's Yahweh, I am that I am, the covenant name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That's Jesus, our Messiah, King of the Jews, Lord of glory. Wait a second, God. You're telling me that, you know, okay, he's humble, they're humble, we're humble, but what about our prayers? What about Jesus' prayers, right? He prayed, Lord, not, I don't want to die. Not, Jesus didn't want to die. If there be another way, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But no. Isaiah says it pleased the Lord to bruise him, for him to die on the cross, for him to be beaten with the cat of nine tails, for him to be stripped of his glory, for him to be whipped and beaten and battered and nailed to a cross that he couldn't even carry by himself. The Son of God couldn't even carry a cross up a hill. I wouldn't either, but I'm just saying. The Son of God, no one could do it. Because of Jesus, the Son of God, who's perfect in every way and never makes a mistake and never passes over you and never forgets about you and always sees you and is watching. If that same Jesus couldn't even carry his cross all the way up the hill, how much more do we need each other, sir, ma'am, children, people, persons, everybody? How much more do we need God. And we need his help. We need God to come through for us. We have been winning battles. We've been winning wars. We've been winning challenges that have all come our way by our bended knee in 2023. It's been a little bit. But what about 2024? What is God going to do then? What is God going to do with our open door? What is God going to do with our open hearts? Our open hearts. You see, God knows what's on the inside and God knows what's on the outside. He knows it all. So it says, he hath put him to grief. God made Jesus suffer. He didn't have to, but he did. It was a willing thing. They made an agreement. The father said, son, will you go? The son said, yes, father, I'll go. And Jesus knew fully what he was getting himself into, but he did it for God's glory, not unto us, O Lord. He did it for God's glory and our salvation. Our salvation. And it says, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, that's Jesus dying on the cross for us, he, that's Jesus, shall see his seed. Jesus shall see his seed. You know who that's talking about? That's you. That's ye. That's me. We are the seed of Jesus. Because he died on the cross. He shed his blood. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. And if Jesus did that for God's glory and our salvation, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So wait a second. You're telling me that God has good for me in my life? You're telling me that God's got someone for me? God's got someone for me? God already has someone for me? God will bless? I'm saying God says yes. The open door. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. And it's our responsibility to read his Bible. It's our responsibility to pray. It's our privilege to read our Bible. I talk about Brother Steve at the front door when I take my time and greet people when they come in. We have a little joke, and he says, you know, oh, we call one door duty and one door delight. One door duty, can't forget that, cannot forget that. But what happens when the other door, you don't feel it? You don't feel it. King Nebuchadnezzar was not delighted in his dream. He was lost in his dream. He was vexed in his dream. And he needed a man of God to help him in his dream, to help him interpret his dream. A man of God like Philip, right? The eunuch. Or the deacon? They had that right, Philip the eunuch? Thank you. So Philip, he had to run up to a guy's chariot with the gospel. He had to say, excuse me, sir, do you know what you're reading? And you know what he was reading? Isaiah. No way. What are the odds? How many people do you think are out there? Brother Jose found 10 of them on Saturday. How many people do you think are out there who are just not wanting to be saved, because no man seeketh after God, but needing to be saved? And they have information, bits and pieces, but they need you. They need me to share the gospel with them. So Daniel chapter 4, it finishes like this. So 7 years, 7 periods of time, King Nebuchadnezzar was eating grass and getting wet, getting his showers with the dew of the morning. And he had eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws, talons. But you know what? This is amazing. This is amazing. Verse 34 of Daniel chapter 4 says this: "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." And this is awesome. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? See, we can't beat God. I mean, we can arm wrestle him. We can Jacob wrestle him. We can try to pin him and get him and manhandle him down. But what's he going to do? He's going to touch your hip. And you're going to be walking like this. I mean, I've been walking like that for a little while, but he helps us. He helps us. Jacob had his name changed to Israel for wrestling with God. Brother Jesse, Brother Bob, Brother Noel, all the men in this room who are married. Let me tell you what, I don't think that they just woke up one day with a wife. I think they wrestled with God for her. And they love their wives. And they treasure their wives. And they fight for their wives. Because he doeth according to his will. God does in his men, in their queens, in the army of heaven. And none can stay his hand or say unto God, what doest thou? This isn't an accident. This is on purpose. At the same time, my reason returned unto me. Thank God I got my mind back. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor, King Nebuchadnezzar, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lord sought me. And I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added unto me. You see, I don't think God's done. I don't think God's done with us. I know God's not done with us. If God was done with us, he wouldn't let us be in church tonight. That's the grace of God. My parents raised me Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday through Friday, Summit Baptist Bible School, Christian education. It was awesome. You see, I don't remember half my life, but it's awesome the parts that I remember. Reading the Bible, praying, going to camp, going on retreats, playing tag with all my friends. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, but I'm just saying God has more for us. He doesn't want us to get wiped out, to be so exhausted that we can't help anybody. But he does want for us to praise him. To praise him. That pleases God. It pleases God when we sing to him. It pleases God when we smile at our friends or say, hi, how are you? Or share the gospel or give our friends or our neighbors or our strangers or our enemies the tracts that we give them. We invite them to church. We say, will you come and see? Will you come and dine? See, we're so blessed because in verse 37 it says this: "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, in all whose works are truth, in his ways judgment. In those that walk in pride he is able to abase." You see, we're in a terrible strait right now in the United States of America. We have evil rulers over us. We have evil people in power, in positions that they ought not to be. We have past powers saying that we were never a Christian nation, that we weren't founded on God and the Bible, and as Brother Sarge likes to say, made in the image of Israel. That's what the world would love to take away from us. But let me tell you what. Let King Nebuchadnezzar tell you what. God is able to abase all those that walk in pride. All the lofty, all the high and mighty, all the rich, all the powerful. I'm not opposed to being high, not opposed to being rich. Proud I am, unless you're in a lion's pride. Not going to talk about that right now. But God is able to bring you down, to humble you. Where you need him, like you need him. There's nowhere that you can go where God isn't. But why would you want to go anywhere? Where's Jesse? There he is. Why would you want to go anywhere? You have the life. You have the wife. You have the church. That was, praise the Lord. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. That's what Peter told our Lord. And pride is the ultimate killer. Because you see, that's why the devil got kicked out of heaven. That's why Leviathan, the king over the sons of pride, in Job, it says, no one can fight him. He's invincible. Only God plays with Leviathan. Only God can humble the proud. But you know what? That's not the only thing. God doesn't just humble the proud, my friends. No, he exalts the base. He exalts the lowly. He smiles. He loves using men and women and children whose hearts God has touched, like Pastor Bloom and Mrs. Bloom and Brother Steve and Sister Patty, Deacon Joe, his wife Mrs. Spodnik, Cynthia, Brother Bob, Sister Angela, Brother Jose, Mrs. Gonzalez. Pastor Zukowski, Sister Alicia, Deacon Jesse, Sister Marie. There's a structure, there's order. God exalts the lowly to the place that he has in his army in order for us to go forward and march on the gates of hell, that no man, no woman, no child, no devil can overthrow. So remember, if you think you're base, if you think you're no one pays attention to you, if you think he'll never call my name, Benjamin, the weakest tribe of Israel, but he could swing with both his arms. So God is good. Only God is right all the time. He's able to humble the proud and exalt the lowly. And that's what I want to be. I want to be lowly. I want to say Benjamin's name the right way, not in a prideful spirit. I want to pray for my friends. I want to meet them at church. I want to save souls for God's sake, that God would use his glory in all of our lives to make much of him, so that the heathen don't say, where is their God? I'll tell you what, heathen, my God, our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever pleased him. And Jesus is the solution to all of our problems, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you have a job or don't have a job, whether no matter what's going on in your life, Jesus is the answer. Whether there's war, whether there's peace, whether there's famine, whether there's prosperity, what can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord? If God be for us, who can be against us? How will he who not freely give us his only begotten Son, how will he not graciously in him, or freely in him, give us all things? So I'd like to just end with the invitation. If we would just bow our heads and close our eyes and just take a second and thank God for his goodness.